EZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Hurricane Melissa getting ready to pummel Jamaica as a Category 5 storm, the strongest to hit the island since record-keeping began more than 170 years ago. On day 28 of the federal government shutdown and with food assistance benefits about to run out for around 40 million Americans, some are getting desperate.
Food pantries even popping up at airports across the country to help struggling TSA agents and air traffic controllers forced to work without pay. Nearly 11,000 air traffic controllers like Peter Lefevre missing their first full paycheck.
The prospect of going another pay period without pay is weighing on the minds of myself and all the people that I work with.
Pay stubs obtained by ABC News showing $0.
ABC's Jay O'Brien. Amazon has announced 14,000 corporate layoffs. Company says it's doing well but has to look toward the future and the opportunities opened up by the development of AI. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is reminding farmers to check runoff risk advisory forecasts before spreading manure on their fields. According to a press release, the agency has an online tool to warn farmers when weather conditions and soil temperatures increase the chance of manure spills. The agency is also reminding farmers that all agriculture and livestock operations must report spills or runoff that could potentially impact surface or groundwater, which can be done through a 24-hour emergency spills hotline. Attorney General Josh Call says Wisconsin has joined a multi-state coalition in sending a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture requesting guidance amid a lapse in SNAP funding due to the federal government shutdown. The letter seeks information on alternate funding sources for the food assistance program and warns that even a temporary delay would have a significant impact on millions of Americans. A letter from the USDA earlier this month advised state agencies that there would be insufficient funds to pay full November SNAP benefits for 42 million people. The Northwest Wisconsin Grazers Network and a handful of partner organizations are inviting residents to their annual Fall Grazing Conference this weekend. The conference will be held at the Shell Lake Community Center on Saturday from 8 a.m. to around 4 p.m. Attendees will have a chance to check out new agency and commercial exhibits and network with other grazers to discuss new ways to improve their own operations. Residents interested in attending the conference must register by Wednesday, which can be done on the organization's website. The Twin Ports Interchange is now open for public use as Wisconsin and Minnesota Department of Transportation officials prepare for the Blatnik Bridge reconstruction project. DOT officials announced the impending completion of the interchange project in recent weeks, and on Friday it officially opened for use. With the Blatnik Bridge expected to close for a few years, the goal of the Twin Ports Interchange project was to keep traffic flowing on the highway and improve safety. Some cleanup and landscaping work in the area is still scheduled for next year. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Bucks and the Knicks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks host the New York Knicks. Milwaukee coming off a disappointing loss in Cleveland, 118-113 to fall to 2-1. Bucks center Miles Turner.
Being new to this group, my key messaging to everybody was like, you got to look forward, to playing from behind. It's the NBA, stuff's gonna happen. At times you can find yourself in unfortunate positions, but I just think it's very important that, if we want to be, a playoff caliber team or a championship caliber team, we got to, really embrace, being down. And I think we did a good job of that in that third quarter. And, there's no excuses in this league. It doesn't matter who's out there. We all lace them up and try to go out there and compete.
Baseball, Game 4 of the World Series tonight in Los Angeles. The Dodgers leading the series 2-1 over the Blue Jays after winning last night 6-5. The game went past midnight. The Dodgers' Freddie Freeman with a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 18th inning to win the game. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers are low, dropping to around 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you're like me, you're an analog person living in a digital age. Join us next time. We'll talk about what skills will keep you employed in the age of AI and data centers. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Alba Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. Nice to have you back here up north at 8:06 on a Tuesday morning, October 28th. Cam Stevenson from Courier Newsroom is standing by, and Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner will be joining us in our next half hour. Along the way, feel free to join us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or use that Civic Media app to call us, to text us, to leave us a voice note, or just come say hello or ask a question in the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube, where you can watch the show. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages, and let us know your thoughts about what's going on. That includes in the nation's capital, where you can always learn more through Cam Stevenson's Below the Beltway newsletter. Sign up at beltway.news or through couriernewsroom.com for dispatches from Capitol Hill. His latest notes that an elections lawsuit could lead to the Epstein files being made public or kept hidden, and the case was just handed to a Trump-appointed judge. One of many things we will be asking Cam about as he joins us now from Washington, D.C. Cam Stevenson, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat, good morning. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good. I see the temporary housing is coming along nicely. There's now a plant.
Our plants are doing well. You know, the furnishings that came with it are really bringing the place together. Trying to find some more green to add to the
yes scene. Well, you see, it's flourishing, unlike, you know, say the east wing of the White House. Have you wandered out to see the wrecking crew in action?
As best as I could. It's a very interesting, I guess, at best, and depressing at worst scene over there, in the sense that normally around the White House, it's a very public space. People can walk around, and there's green areas and park benches and, you know, statues and all these sort of things you can walk by and kind of walk through living history. But that's not really how it's set up anymore. Once the Trump administration somehow realized after the fact how bad it looked, that they were taking bulldozers to the section of the White House, they not only blocked off that part visibly, you know, with high covered fences so you couldn't see, they also started to block off the surrounding walkways, you know, some of the little park areas and places where people used to just kind of sit and have their lunch. And so I was able to find a few spots to get a vantage point where I could see what was going on. Not much anymore. It's just a pile of rubble. The White House, they found a loophole that said that they didn't need any permits to tear things down, but they do need permits and, you know, zoning permissions to put things up. And so now it is just down for the foreseeable future.
Of course it is. Of course the loophole didn't work the way they fully intended. And regardless, you know, as things are needing to be demolished and then needing to be rebuilt. These things cost money. It just seems an interesting way to allocate resources when we're not allocating resources to things like healthcare, you know, feeding families, things like that. You've been looking at the numbers.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think on the one hand, it's very hypocritical for the administration to say that the ballroom is being paid for by donations. And so that's, you know, that's a non-issue. But then we're also taking donations to fund our military during the shutdown. I think that's just an odd dichotomy, but we can't take donations for, you know, for SNAP benefits so kids can eat at school, or so that the million plus federal workers working for without pay right now could actually get a paycheck. But yeah, I found through, I was investigating how these donations were going to the ballroom, and found that even though they are donations from outside private organizations, we as taxpayers are still paying for that, because they're going through a 501c3 nonprofit, I believe it's called the Foundation of the National Mall Trust.
Okay.
But it's the Trust of the National Mall. It's a nonprofit, which means the millions of dollars people are donating, they'll get it as a tax write-off next year. And so, and we're the ones who pay for those.
So they make the donation, they get the tax write-off, we still end up paying the bill for this.
Yes. And for all we know, there's not really going to be a ballroom. There's no actual plans. There's only these moldings that the president likes to show off. There's no blueprints, there's no schematics. And this would take a lot of planning because there are also tunnels underground, safety tunnels, security measures, bunker facilities. You can't just slap a few pieces of plywood on it and call it a ballroom.
I recall, showing my age now, but once upon a time, there was going to be a new U.S. embassy in Moscow. And they finally had to tear the building down because they realized that throughout the construction, it was being riddled with listening devices and other literal spyware. And I am just suspicious enough of Trump's ties to Putin and the secrecy involved that whoever the next president is, and you know, we all keep praying there will be a next president, that thing is going to need some serious review once Trump is out of office to make sure that, you know, goodness. Well, first off, the place is going to need a good decontamination, but that includes for, any electronic surveillance and things like that. Not necessarily to benefit, you know, Russia, but to benefit, you know, Trump personally, corporate donations, corporate donors, things like that. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven. And it is all, and yet, despite all of those concerns, it remains a distraction from things that should have more significance, not just reopening the federal government, but things like the Epstein files. And that leads us to an article that you have at Beltway.news about how a lawsuit about elections could lead to the Epstein files being made public or kept hidden. And an interesting choice of which judge got the case here, Cam.
Yeah, of all the judges in D.C., we get the Federalist Society one. But this is the case with Representative-elect Adelita Grijalva. She was elected to be in Congress over a month ago. Speaker Mike Johnson has refused to swear her in and seat her. He's made up a bunch of different reasons and excuses. The main thing is that there's no reason for her not to be sworn in. And one of the reasons people are speculating, and the longer it goes, the more likely it looks like, is that she would be the final vote to force the release of the Epstein files to the public.
And the speaker, I mean, to put it charitably, is wrong, or to be less charitable, making stuff up in terms of reasons not to swear her in, reasons why they can't use supplemental USDA funds to pay for SNAP benefits, and a host of other things. I mean, if there is a poster child for Congress essentially abdicating its responsibilities, it's whatever comes out of Speaker Mike Johnson's mouth.
And that seems like that's exactly what he's doing, is essentially not working for the people, but just finding ways to strengthen the executive branch, specifically under Trump. Even like what you said, the refusal to pay for SNAP benefits or finding some way to fund certain programs, while praising the Trump administration for using private donors to fund other parts of the federal government. That's a type of corporatism that we saw under Mussolini, where they used corporations to fund certain things that, that benefited this nationalist ideal of what a government should be.
Oh, and in Hungary in this day and era, again, part of Viktor Orban's rise to power hasn't been direct government takeover of things like media and other groups and institutions, but through, again, very wealthy friends who then, you know, quote unquote, donate those facilities, you know, for the government to use. Well, as long as the government is in the hands of their buddy, their pal. And, you know, again, we should not be normalizing that here. So the elections lawsuit is there. It's a Trump appointed judge who's going to look at it. Court date coming up in a couple of days yet this week, right?
Yep. The first appointment set for it is on the 30th. I've reached out. The lawsuit is by Adelita Grijalva and then the state of Arizona through their attorney general, Chris Mays. I reached out to Attorney General Mays' office, and they will be here on the 30th. And so I'm coordinating to see if I'm I probably won't be allowed in the courtroom. They usually don't allow press in for these meetings, but I'll definitely be outside, and we'll be giving updates as to what happens next.
All right. So you can get updates on that at beltway.news for the Below the Beltway newsletter. In Wisconsin yesterday, we had an interesting release by Governor Tony Evers and the Wisconsin Office of the Commissioner of Insurance giving specific numbers on just how high health insurance premiums are going to go starting Saturday, the date when open enrollment begins for health insurance policies under the Affordable Care Act in the marketplace. I don't want to reduce all of this to messaging, you know, Democratic messaging versus Republican messaging. The fact of the matter is that message coming from Democrats like Governor Evers is based in real numbers that says this is going to be the real impact of this government shutdown and Republicans protecting corporate insurance profits rather than trying to make healthcare more affordable. What's your assessment of whether that kind of messaging is happening from Democrats in D.C., or are they more stuck in process, or are they basically, are they silent? What is it that's happening in terms of communicating the shutdown in D.C. this week?
Yeah, so mainly what Democrats are doing is they've been traveling back and forth between D.C., to try and pressure Republicans to come back, and then also traveling back to their home districts to let people know what's going on. And their messaging throughout the shutdown, I feel like, has been fairly consistent. But it's one of those things where it almost requires a slow burn, because, you know, they can say that premiums are going to go up, and there's a certain segment of the population that's going to believe them, and a certain segment of the population that isn't. And then another bigger segment that doesn't hear them at all. Because they don't listen, you know, they don't want to hear from politicians. But the one thing everyone will hear from is their insurance company. You know, it doesn't matter what the message is. When I get my paycheck and there's $300 fewer dollars in it because my healthcare premiums have gone up, that speaks louder than anything anyone, you know, Speaker Johnson can say at a podium, or what, you know, a member of Congress can say in a town hall.
No, it's extremely true. And much like the last shutdown came to an end in 2019, only after, you know, there were enough air traffic controllers who didn't come in and the flight delays began piling up. And we're hearing the rumblings of that happening now. And I'm not saying it's going to be air travel again. It may just be the health insurance premiums. But you're right, Cam. It's that slow burn of real life impact. And then people either calling their congressman's office or, you know, showing up at meetings and saying, you know, that's enough of this. And Republicans still think enough of that pressure is going to be on Democrats to be the ones to cave. And I from my standpoint here in Wisconsin, I'm not seeing any signs of that yet. I mean, Democrats definitely feel like they're on the you know, they've got the moral high ground in this.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest problems is that, is again, these information bubbles that we all live in, you know, Democrats and Republicans, but we're seeing it especially that Republicans under this current administration are intensely online. They'd rather post memes and make fun of people on social media rather than meet with constituents. That's something that will, it takes something more drastic to break through. And I think people running out of food, it could do that. And I think people not being able to travel during the holidays And coupled with the fact that the National Guard won't even get to go home for the holidays because right. they're stuck.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen bread riots in the past. I think we might be looking at some turkey riots.
Could be. Watch for that. Cam Stevenson, go to beltway.news for more. Thank you, Cam. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And we will have Ruth Conner from the Wisconsin Examiner coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community at WHSM.com. That's community at WHSM.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What's going on with Earl Ingram?
The No Kings rallies across this nation, they reminded me of, it was an organization called the Tea Party. Senior citizens were a part of the Tea Party. And there are a lot of senior citizens involved in the No Kings rallies.
Listen to the Civic Media exclusive podcast, What's Going On with Earl Ingram. Find the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Good news. You get an extra hour this weekend. Daylight saving time ends, so remember to turn your clocks back 1 hour before you go to bed Saturday night. Fall back, sleep in, and start your Sunday refreshed. A message from your local Civic Media radio station.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio is a young local gal and her mom, and this gal you might know from a lot of the music venues that have been here in the Hayward area, and more particularly at the Big Top Chautauqua. Marley Payne is here with her mom, Brianna. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. Tell me about, Mom, tell me about how all this started. When did you realize that Marley had a gift for singing? I'm sure it was at a young age. Tell us a little bit about that history.
My husband and I can remember back to when she was even as young as like 2 years old and just singing from the moment she woke up to the moment she went to bed. And most of it didn't make sense at that age.
Well, sure. Yeah. Right.
And she just would come up with these cute little melodies and just be singing all the time. And we always knew when she wasn't feeling well because she wouldn't sing on days that she didn't feel well.
It was a good indicator.
Yeah. But really just always singing, always just humming something, whatever. So because of that, 2 summers ago, my husband was looking into a kids' music camp that she could do something in summer with more music and specifically something with instruments because she had never played an instrument. She knew she kind of wanted to get involved with something but had no experience in that. So thank you to the Google machine for suggesting Big Top Chautauqua, but they have a kids bluegrass camp. It's a 4-day camp where kids get to go there with no experience, try different instruments, and then there's different levels. You can work up to more of like an intermediate or an advanced level. But that is where she found her love of guitar and has not put it down ever since.
Marley, tell me about your experience going to this Big Top Chautauqua thing and what you thought of it when you first went there.
Yeah, I was really, really nervous because I didn't know any of the kids and I was by myself. But all the people were super nice and the teachers were very helpful. And by the end of it, I was very happy I went and definitely wanted to go the next year. But yeah, in the beginning, it was very scary, but I definitely learned a lot. And it was a lot of fun.
So that was the very first time you played a guitar.
Yeah. Yep.
Did you try piano or anything else? Violin? No, it was guitar.
No, it was guitar. Okay. Yep.
They have mandolin, fiddle, banjo, bass, and guitar. Those are the instruments that they offer to the kids at that particular camp.
Yeah.
And you pick like one or two a year is kind of what they want you to focus on. And she just happened to pick guitar. So and kind of glad she did.
So all this excitement and all this exposure kind of started when you were at the artist showcase at the Park Center last year, I think that was, or 2 years ago.
Yep, 15 months ago now. So not quite 2 years.
So you were featured at the artist showcase at the Park Center, and I think the audience liked you. I think the audience and there were some other musicians that took a liking to you. Tell us about your experience at the artist showcase and what happened there.
Yeah, I got to work with Michael Pilhofer from the park, and we would go to his recording studio and we picked this group of songs that I really enjoyed. And we rehearsed them probably for a couple months, and it got time, and it was a great time, and the house band was behind me, and Molly Otis got to play with me during that. And it was a lot of fun.
Right.
Yeah.
And when Molly discovered you or met you at that point, she really took a liking to you and kind of took you under her wing as a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy because my mom's like, "You're working with Molly Otis." And I kind of didn't understand at that point because I'd never really heard of her before.
Yeah.
But yeah, I started watching her videos from like back when she was younger and was in Nashville and stuff, and it was really cool and crazy. And then we just continued working together, and it was it was a lot of fun.
What are you doing more recently with various performances that her and her band are at?
Yeah, we've played at the Pavilion in Bayfield quite a few times, and we have Apple Fest coming up this weekend, which will be a lot of fun. And we did Muskie Fest in Hayward and just kind of bopping around to different local places in Bayfield and in Hayward.
So tell us a little bit about your life at home. Do you have some hobbies?
Yeah, I love riding horses and playing guitar. And yeah, I did basketball for a couple years, and I'm big into dance.
Yeah. Kinda, you like fishing with your dad?
I do. I like fishing and hunting and just being out in nature.
Yeah. If you are an outdoorsy gal.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, and dance is something that probably comes very easy because you had a very good instructor.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink. I always tell people that I manifested the fact that she's a singer because I just listened to music constantly when I was pregnant, obviously being a dance instructor. So I like to think I had a little something to do with it, even though I'm not a singer myself.
So what do you think the future looks like for you? What are you hoping to do in the next year, maybe the next 2 years? Do you have any aspirations or goals?
Yeah, I really want to try to put together a band and pursue music and keep doing kind of what I'm doing because it's been a lot of fun the past summer. And I want to continue music in my future, and I also want to do a rescue horse ranch.
That's
kind of like my dream.
Very cool. Yeah. Yep. Mom, how do you keep her grounded with all of this stuff going on? Not so much grounded at home because she did something wrong, but how do you keep her grounded in her personality, in her attitude? How does this work at home?
Yeah, we still just really encourage her to be a kid and let her be a kid. Be goofy, go outside, run around, build forts, like just still be a kid, even though she's very mature for her age and taking on a lot of responsibilities as a 12-year-old. And we try to make family time as much as we can. Even when she was having different gigs this last summer, we would make camping trips out of it. We'd go hiking. We'd do exploring. And so just allowing her to still be a kid, even though she's got those responsibilities to think about.
Well, Brianna and Marley, thank you so much for coming in this morning, and I appreciate the conversation.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that their services may stall if the federal government shutdown continues. According to agency officials, about $230 million of the $310 million allocated to the Department of Workforce Development for training and employment services this year comes from the federal government. Without that federal funding, things like career counseling, recruitment and retention programs, and apprenticeships for job seekers could see a reduction in services. As the weather cools down and leaves start to fall from the trees, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents to be wary of fire danger. According to a press release, there have already been over 50 wildfires across the state in the month of October. DNR officials say the dry weather, gusty winds, and the falling leaves are contributing to increased wildfire risk. Residents should check fire danger warnings in their area before conducting outdoor burning activities until some snowfall brings more protection against wildfires. The Senior Resource Center of Sawyer County is inviting area residents to contribute to a fundraising drive for its Meals on Wheels program. Organization officials say they're facing cuts like many other nonprofits in the region, but the need for the meals program is increasing. The Meals on Wheels program provides area seniors who can't get out of the house as often as they used to with nutritious meals, as well as a wellness check and some social interaction. Senior Resource Center officials are recommending donations of about $7 per meal. Barron County officials say they're still searching for developers to convert the former Bessie manufacturing site into a mixed-use commercial and housing development. Officials say they've met with some developers already, but many of them want to continue using the site for industrial purposes. They're also seeking funding from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for environmental cleanup. The Rice Lake Plan Commission recommended rezoning the land from industrial to mixed use to the City Council at its meeting on Thursday. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Lots to report from the weekend box office, including a new champ from the world of anime. Chainsaw Man the movie came in first place with $17 million at the gate. The animated film tells the story of a man who was almost killed by the Yakuza until he was saved by his dog, forcing them to become one, thereby creating Chainsaw Man. The film received a 96% fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes and 99% audience score. Coming in second place in its second week of release was last week's champ, Black Phone 2, which pulled in $13 million at the box office. Despite bad reviews, newcomer Regretting You pulled in $12.5 million, which was good for third place for the drama. Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere finished in fourth place in its opening weekend with $9 million, which was a bit below expectations. And it was Tron Aris in its second week that pulled in just under $5 million, which was good for fifth place at the gate. If you get a chance, see a movie called Truth or Treason. Really solid film. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today. We may catch a sprinkle or two at some point with a high right around 55 here this afternoon. Tonight, scattered showers are low, dropping to around 31. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low to mid-50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I talk with Chicago attorney Robert Held, who is among the protesters who were detained for protesting outside the ICE facility in Broadview. We discuss his 8 hours in custody.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Matt and Aaron here is coming up next here across the Civic Media Radio Network. Jane and Greg will welcome in Todd Alba at 9:35, and then just after 10 a.m., Corrine Hendrickson, candidate for State Senate and a member of Main Street Alliance, will be joining them again just after 10 o'clock this morning for Matt and Aaron on Air. Later on the Maggie Dawn Show at 4 o'clock, Angela Lang, the executive director at Block, will be part of the program. Again, head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Ruth Conniff joins us now from the Wisconsin Examiner, and we'll be talking about a few different things the Examiner is following, including her latest column, Wisconsin School Children Become a 2026 Campaign Issue in the Worst Possible Way. We'll get to that and some of the other stories we're following with Ruth now. Ruth Conniff, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Very well, thanks.
It's good to have you here, and we'll come to the article in just a bit, but first I wanted to mention that the Examiner, like everybody else, is covering the story today about the basically monster hike in health insurance premiums that's coming, and it was a case of Governor Evers, along with the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, putting out specific numbers yesterday, which really takes it, Ruth, beyond, you know, some kind of a ethereal, you know, thing about, well, the things might happen. These are the things that are actually going to happen to these kinds of households in these kinds of counties. It was a very specific illustration of the pain that lies ahead.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. My deputy Eric Gunn covered that yesterday. He went down to Milwaukee and saw the press conference that Evers held down there and is reporting all the numbers from the Wisconsin Commissioner of Insurance this morning on our website at wisconsinexaminer.com. And it's really pretty frightening to look at the kinds of health insurance hikes that people are facing. And as Tammy Baldwin said yesterday, many people are simply going to have to drop their insurance because they don't have the money to cover these kinds of expansions. It's very uneven across the state.
Yes.
You know, there's, you know, some people are looking at just a 10% hike, but that is the minority of residents of the state of Wisconsin, because, you know, overall 39% in Waukesha County, up to as high as 800% for a 60-year-old couple in Barron County. So it's very, very significant.
It is. And I urge people to look at the articles and more to find out. Just to give that one example in dollars and cents, in Barron County, if you're a 60-year-old, you're a couple making $85,000 a year, you're still 5 years away from Medicare, Social Security, you know, full benefits, or 7 years away, I think, at that age. You're currently paying $340 a month for a silver level plan. Starting Saturday, instead of $340, it'll be $3,103. That's $33,000 a year that you would have to have lying around, or decide to go without health insurance. And that's where, again, many people are going to go. And Ruth, you and I have been doing this long enough. We remember the news stories pre-Affordable Care Act of people going without health insurance and the, you know, the financial and life tragedies that befell people.
Yeah, it's been such a significant improvement in quality of life for health insurance to be more accessible to millions and millions of people across this country. And, you know, the big issue right now that is holding up the end of the government shutdown is that Democrats are insisting that Congress fix the sunset of Affordable Care Act insurance subsidies, which is about to hit. So, you know, since 2021, people have been able to afford their insurance better because of this, you know, this boost from the government covering healthcare, the insurance premiums that people are otherwise paying. And that's about to go away. And so, you know, there's just this political war on about who's to blame for the government shutdown. Is it Republicans who control every branch of government, or is it Democrats who don't want to pass a resolution to reopen the government without fixing this problem? And this is the problem now. What we're looking at today, this announcement in Wisconsin of these massive skyrocketing premiums for people who are getting getting their health care through the Affordable Care Act marketplace. So, you know, I think that's the thing that people kind of need to focus on, not so much the who's to blame battle that's going on in Washington, but the actual dollars and cents problem that people across Wisconsin are going to face starting Saturday when they can no longer afford health care.
We're talking to Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief at the Wisconsin Examiner, and I can't ever have a conversation with Ruth without talking a bit about migrant farm labor in Wisconsin. And her book, Milked, is required reading to understand the immigration crisis in this nation from a Wisconsin and dairy industry standpoint. You did have an article or a column earlier this month about tariffs and the immigration crackdown taking a toll on Wisconsin farmers and, of course, their farm laborers. How would you best describe from an overview where we are, you know, three coming up on 4 weeks into this shutdown from the standpoint of Wisconsin farms and specifically Wisconsin's dairy industry?
Well, the shutdown is really bad for farmers. And one of the things that it's delaying is Trump's promised subsidies for farms that are supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. I mean, farmers in Wisconsin and across the country are paying really high prices for fertilizer, for farm equipment because of the trade wars that Trump started with his tariffs. And then on top of that, China in May stopped buying all soybeans from the United States. Well, China is the biggest soybean customer in Wisconsin, and that's a major crop in our state. So farmers are unsure whether they will be able to sell their soybean crop, which is, you know, a record crop this year, at all. It's harvest time and their biggest customer is not available. So, you know, this has been a huge problem for farmers. It has caused farmers across the country in sort of the main national survey of farmer outlook to say that they are pessimistic about their economic prospects right now. And that's, you know, that's brutal. And then on top of that, we have this immigration crackdown. So farmers are hanging on for this subsidy that's supposed to make up for the impact of tariffs. That's what Trump has promised them. But, you know, as a former USDA official I interviewed about this said, it's not even robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's robbing Peter to pay Peter to create a subsidy out of what Trump says is the revenue coming in from tariffs. Well, that revenue is what farmers are paying in high prices for farm equipment and fertilizer. Trump is promising to turn around and give them a bailout using their own money. You know, what farmers want is markets that work for them to be able to sell their products and make a living. And that is not on the horizon right now. You know, there's a vague promise that somehow tariffs are going to improve that situation, are going to counteract the long-term effects of, you know, global economic, you know, selling your product at a low price on a global marketplace is hard. And that is a problem that needs to be addressed, but it's not at all clear how this chaotic economic situation that we're in now with trade wars and tariffs is advancing the ball on that. So that's where they are currently with the shutdown. And then on top of that, the threat of mass deportation is a big, big deal for Wisconsin because our dairy industry depends on the labor of immigrants who are not allowed to get a visa through our current system because year-round farm work does not qualify for a visa. The H-2A visa, which is a farm work visa that most farm workers who can get a visa use, is seasonal only. So if you have a year-round industry, it is automatically disqualified from that visa. So here we have an industry in the dairy industry that for decades has depended 60 to 90% of the labor is immigrant labor. They can't qualify for a visa because Congress has never fixed that system and created a year-round visa. And so now we're threatening to deport all these guys. But what's going to happen to our dairy industry if we lose 60 to 90% of our labor? It can't survive that. So no, that's a major crisis.
It can't sustain that. And there are people that could be working on these things, like Congressman Derek Van Orden, who's got a very dairy-heavy congressional district, or Congressman Tom Tiffany, who's been in office in Congress and the legislature long enough. And instead, switching gears to a different story that you're following, Tom Tiffany, who's now running for governor, was there on the steps of the Capitol late last week talking about his outrage over a Cap Times investigation tracking more than 200 cases of alleged child sexual abuse by Wisconsin teachers and the way that these cases were handled by the State Department of Public Instruction. But again, this is me editorializing for a moment. This is Rich coming from a guy who, you know, has not exactly been calling for the release of the Epstein files. So you do a wonderful job of putting this into perspective of saying, look, these are serious allegations. There's some serious cases here, but let's not be fooled by the outright politicization of this matter from certain politicians as well.
Yeah, I'm really dismayed by what has happened with that story. The Cap Times spent a year doing an investigation in which they found these 200 cases. And in many cases, the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin allowed teachers to give up their licenses voluntarily and then dropped these investigations against them. The suggestion in the Cap Times story is that this amounts to a cover-up or, you know, hiding, shielding is the word they used. These cases, it's a little more complicated than that. Jill Underley, the state superintendent, argues that teachers who give up their teaching license are now in a national database and they're taken away from children. And furthermore, it's not DPI's job to continue to investigate people who are no longer in the profession. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for that. The problem is Jill Underley went to get an award from her alma mater in Indiana instead of showing up for the legislative hearing on this issue, prompted by that Cap Times investigation, which really gives the impression that she doesn't care very much about something that is becoming a major scandal. And is frankly, you mentioned Tom Tiffany and his press conference at the Capitol, it's going to be a big campaign issue. And it feeds into this political environment in which for many, many years, Republicans and the incredibly powerful school choice lobby in Wisconsin have been pushing the message that public schools have failed, that we should take the money that we spend on public education, pull it out of the public schools and hand it over to private school operators. And that is increasingly a huge problem for the finances of public education in our state. So that's kind of the political backdrop. You know, basically, this is a gift to the Tom Tiffany campaign and to Republicans who are running in 2026 to say, look at these terrible teachers. You know, they're sexual predators and the Department of Public Instruction is hiding this from you. And it's actually not quite that, but it's really important to push back because, you know, for one thing, the private schools that Republicans want to channel money into have zero oversight.
They're less accountable.
Teachers don't even need to have a license. So the teachers in private schools could be doing anything. We don't know. And the concerns raised in that Cap Times investigation, lack of transparency, lack of accountability, lack of a record that shows the public what's going on with these investigations, that's going to be much worse in the private schools. We're just not going to see what's happening there. And we don't hold these teachers accountable. So that's, you know, it's a narrative. It's an unfortunate narrative that contributes to the destruction of our once great public school system in Wisconsin. But Underley is really, she really shares some blame for this. She needs to show up.
She, if I recall right, she turned down request interviews by the Cap Times prior to this coming out,
she herself claimed it would be a conflict of interest for her to talk to the Cap Times, which is silly. Mm-hmm. And I feel sorry for her deputies at DPI who showed up very well prepared at this legislative hearing. But the news out of that hearing was that Underley herself was too busy, you know, getting an award from her alma mater to come in person.
Right. So, and look, I'm leaving room for, because I don't put it past the Republican members to, you know, to understand that Underley already had a previously scheduled trip and may have monkeyed around with the schedule. To me, the original sin was Jill Underley not sitting down with a reporter or making every deputy, you know, imaginable available to do this. And like you said, it's opened up the door for all kinds of, you know, politics to be played with something, which is exactly why your headline says that the children have become a campaign issue in the worst possible way. You can read this full column and much more at the Wisconsin Examiner. Head over to wisconsinexaminer.com. Ruth Conniff, editor-in-chief, thank you very much for some much-needed background on this. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you, Pat. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Ruth. We will have some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up after this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Civic Media.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, let's start to wrap things up here. First, by acknowledging that I may have to change my coffee intake because these single cups that I had after breaking the coffee pot earlier this morning. Once you get the measurements figured out, this is pretty good.
Yeah,
I might have to. Right now, I have a hot plate right in front of me here to keep the, you know, because I'll pour it out of the coffee pot and it'll get cold otherwise. I might just have to put a single serving coffee maker right here in front of me. And it'll just be like I'm a lab rat with a pellet dispenser, and I just keep hitting it for another shot of caffeine, because this coffee is pretty good from the single size. Boy. I'm totally understanding the cup. The cups are bad, okay? The little Keurig cups, they fill up the landfills. Get the reusable ones. Put in the right amount of coffee, the right amount of water, and I could stay caffeinated. I could do this all the way through the rest of the day here. Give Todd Alba the day off, you know? I'll just keep going.
Really? You think you can do 5 hours on air?
With this much coffee? Yeah, probably. Anyway.
Welcome back to the Todd Alba Show. I'm Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, the host.
I've got in front of me something I picked up at the medical supply store yesterday. Yes, I was at the medical supply store because I'm old now and needed supplies for my CPAP machine, which is, you know, it has totally addressed the sleep apnea. It's been wonderful. But when you have to go to the same place where you would get your, your commodes and some of the other things that you need, you see things like this newsletter from the Aging and Disability Resource Center, the ADRC of Eau Claire County. And there's a big article in the front about Medicare Part D open enrollment. Yeah. You know, we just talked about open enrollment for plans under the Affordable Care Act that begins this Saturday, but we are already in the open enrollment period for Medicare Part D or Medicare Advantage. And it's not something that I need yet, but I have been asked by a certain person who birthed me many years ago to assist her in finding a new Medicare Advantage plan. And I have learned so much about it that I wanted to share it. And that is why we have a guest coming in on Thursday to tell us more. And that her name is Ingrid Cunninger, and she is from the, let me get the title right here, the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. Again, the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources is going to talk to us all about Medicare Part D, whether it's for you or if you are the adult child or caregiver of somebody, and finding the plan that works out best for you. So again, that is Thursday morning. Can I give you the bare bones outline of the show that I need to do after this? Maybe it's my retirement project.
There's a show after this.
Whatever my next thing is going to be.
Oh, you don't mean like in the next hour. Like, you mean
No. Jane and Greg are safe. They're good. Okay. But this is something I talked about with Mark Jacob a lot in the early days when he was doing our segment on Fridays. Was we need something that just refutes the talking points that we are fed by the right-wing media system all day long. And it started with a lot of what we're hearing now with the government shutdown is why I want to bring this up again. But it started with Mark Jacob, and we were always talking about how Meet the Press especially, but cable news channels in general, would have these politicians on live, ask them questions. They wouldn't answer the questions. They'd, you know, run out the clock, and pretty soon the host is like, well, that's all the time we have. Thank you, and never really challenge them. And I said, we need to stop doing this. We need to stop putting politicians on live that you know are going to lie to you or not answer the question, and instead let other people do it. And then instead of having live guests on Sunday mornings, is you play clips of these politicians on other shows, and then you break it down and say, here's where they're lying, or here's where they're mistaken, or here's where they're being misleading, and just do something like that. And it has occurred to me, especially looking at the comment section, today, as we've talked about SNAP benefits, as we've talked about the Affordable Care Act, that there is ample room for a show that simply takes on talking points. I know what other people have proposed. They've said what Democrats need to do is they need to have a daily thing. They need to have, like, Pete Buttigieg needs to go out and do a daily briefing every day that refutes what Republicans are doing and pushes progressive talking points, and people would watch that. Yes, perhaps. And perhaps Democrats do need to be more aggressive in their messaging, but it also runs the risk of just creating another media bubble. There are people in their right-wing media bubble. There would be a lot of, you know, progressives in that media bubble, and what would you really get out of it? I think there's room somewhere in the middle. If only this is where, again, I'm sad that Tim Russert is no longer with us, but somebody of his caliber who would not have live guests on and would simply play these clips and say, okay, here's the real deal on this. And then you take it a step further and you say, now, to be fair, here's what that politician would say in return. So the politician says something, we spell out what the facts are. That politician's going to have something else to say. So you'd say, to be fair, here's what that person would say, and here's the comeback to that. And I just feel like if you did that just simply with tape clips and with fact-based information, you could have something that is, it's not ha-ha like The Daily Show, where they play back clips and you know, tell you some fact-based stuff, but then they play it for laughs. But this is much more informative. So I would call the show To Be Fair. And we would just do a call and response show kind of like that. And now I've given it all the way, and somebody else is going to do it and make a lot of money off it.
I like this a lot. I'm pretty sure that you just kind of explained the plot of Newsroom in season one. Just a thought.
Yeah, yeah. You know, just a couple Great of years idea. Later that you do that. All right. No, thanks for bursting my bubble there, Parker. Appreciate it.
It's a great idea. I like it. You should do it, Pat.
I appreciate how delusional you get when you're under the weather like this. So get a nap, feel better soon, and we'll do this all again tomorrow. Or if I open up this camera and I don't see you on the other side, you know, then we'll know.
Yeah,
and
good luck.
We'll hope Luke Mathers can drive really fast to get here. So, all right. Feel better, man. I'll talk to you in the morning. We'll see all of you tomorrow morning as well. Bright and early here up north, 6 a.m. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Food banks opening up across the country as federal workers now hit day 28 without a paycheck. Food assistance for low-income Americans is set to run out this weekend without a compromise on reopening the government. Hurricane Melissa set to pummel Jamaica as a catastrophic Category 5 storm, the strongest ever to lash the island.
Melissa approaching as a Category 5 hurricane overnight with winds up to 175 miles per hour. Local officials telling people in low-lying areas to get out now. The United Cajun Navy, formed after Hurricane Katrina, ready to assist.
We have folks on the ground waiting to take assessments, let us know what the needs are.
Aid groups from the U.S. already in Jamaica say they're planning for long-term airport closures.